Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania in front of us!
Midge.
Male.
Mushroom.
Midge.
It's still rude.
Midge.
Male.
Mushroom.
Midge.
It's still rude.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like the delicious chicken.
It was repot.
It's professional wrestling.
Thank you for listening to Cheap Heat again. Today's show is going to be all about WrestleMania, of course. And in addition to talking about WrestleMania, we have a lot of other things to do, including the first Raw after WrestleMania, the repuggery of Chris Jericho on commentary, and so much more. We're also doing the show live on Instagram Live today. And while you're here, I want to remind you of all the other great podcasts being done by ESPN, including Adam Schefter. As we get ready for the draft, who better to listen to? Adam Schefter's pod is amazing. If you want to keep your sanity, check out the ESPN podcast library, and particularly Schefty, as he gets you ready for the draft. Wherever you can find podcasts, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And welcome aboard to Cheap Heat. And we are live on IG Live today, which is going to be a slightly different experience. I don't know if we've done, SUG and I have done a full version together, but we're going to. Happy Passover to all the Jewish folks out there, certainly. Bear the dog is in the house right now. And I hope everyone is having a good post-WrestleMania week. And I'll tell you what, I finally had the first realization that WrestleMania is not happening again this weekend. And it was very disappointing. I was like, wait, what am I doing this weekend? Am I not going to be able to get together with my friends on Zoom? Hold on. And it legitimately bummed me out. I was thinking like, should we just do a watch along this weekend anyway? And I'm going to actually suggest this to Greg, and speak of the devil, and he shall eventually arrive. There he is.
Yo.
Hey, SGG, how you doing?
What's going on, P?
I was just telling the audience, it finally dawned on me that there's no WrestleMania this weekend. What are we doing?
I know. I don't know. I feel like we need more.
Like, I'm not ready to have nothing to do. Like, I was joking around with you guys earlier. No, I was talking to Dipperstein, I guess, outside the group chat, and I was giving a hard time to Shoemaker for not showing up. And I was like,
yeah, he missed out on a good weekend of wrestling.
That's why I ended up annoyed, is that I was like, okay, yes, I know it's Shoemaker's personality to do nothing, and just literally the excuse he gave us, which may end up on a t-shirt one day.
Can we tell the people? This was hilarious.
Yeah. So there was a group chat. I think I sent out the times. Like, I sent the official information for how we're going to go on Zoom. And so I sent the Zoom information, and Shoemaker's response was, I'm on a walk.
Yeah, he said, I can't right now. I'm going for a walk.
But I sent this information like an hour before the kickoff show.
So, yeah, for WrestleMania.
So like, wait, but you still have hours to get there. Anyways, and the reason I was actually annoyed with Shoemaker for missing it is that on a year that was very strange and different, to say the least, we actually had a great time. Like, it turned out to be really fun.
It did, and you know, some people in my position would say that they hate to say I told you so, but I don't. I love
no,
it.
No, you love to say I told
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Before we go any further, SUG, and you get into your celebrating, I want to give a shout out to my friends at Roots of Fight, who sent me that Hart family hoodie.
Did they send you two?
They did not. And this one would only be half an SGG, because this is snug a Jace on me.
It's a beautiful garment still.
And I know. And then the Tyson sweats.
Oh my God.
So shout out to Roots of Fight. Go check them out. If you're looking for some comfy but dope clothes to wear right now,
did they bless
us with
a promo code, anything?
You know what? I'm gonna see if I can get us a Cheap Heat promo code. I like what you're talking
about.
I got you. I'll probably send you a stash.
Give us a promo code, please.
I got you, SGG. Maybe I can get one for the people. Anyways, okay, I'll let you take your victory lap as you see it right now about WrestleMania. And of course, you will go from a rightful celebration to taking it one notch too far. But I'm here. I mean, it's the Shoot Arrow.
Welcome to the Shoot Arrow, baby.
Listen, I didn't even say it was going to be great, right? I just said, let's see what happens. They always over-deliver in situations like this. And then they did again on not one, but both nights. You know, Dipperstein predicted that the sky was falling, that they need to shut it down, and they need to regroup, that everything is going to be, this is going to be an all-time worst WrestleMania. I saw people saying this was going to be a bottom three WrestleMania, and it absolutely was not, by no stretch. Even if you judge it by just the worst of the card, it would not have hit bottom three WrestleMania.
Agreed.
Now, I'm not going to go so far as saying it was like a top five.
You did on your social the night of when you were geeked say top 10, which might be
strong. I did say top 10. No, top 10. It's definitely top 10.
It's not definitely top 10. It's definitely top 10.
Hold
on, it's definitely. So you're sure you want to go with definitely top 10?
I'm pretty sure. It might be like 10. It might be 10. It's top 10.
Well, I'm glad
sure.
You mentioned 10 because 10 is better.
10 is better.
10 is better. 3 is clearly better.
Yep. 30 is better.
30 is better. I don't know about you, but I believe 4 is better. I love 4.
Yeah, no, 4, the tournament?
Four. Yeah, the 4.
I love the tournament. Yeah,
4 is major.
4 is better.
What about 5?
Eh, it gets shaky after 5. Then it becomes like these one-match shows after 5 for a while. Like 13 is a one-match show.
14 is better.
14 is better, yeah. I mean, 17 and 19, better.
Better. 18, better. Hogan Rock. I'm sorry. You got to give Hogan Rock the.
That's
the,
one match, but
the card is still solid. Jericho Triple H, that's a solid card. I know you don't care about crowd, Greg, but crowd alone takes that show to being a top 10.
Well, that's the other thing too, right? They did this with no crowd, so I mean.
Yeah, but you're. In my opinion, you're doing what you always do, which is going the other way.
So you think this wasn't top 10?
I think it's way too soon to tell, but it wasn't that good. You are standing on the mountain because the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match were so good, you're elevating it to top 10. And Rhea Charlotte was great.
Rhea Charlotte was great.
But you're
elevating. Ed Orton was good,
but many
KO people. Seth Rollins was good to great.
I agree.
Like right on the edge of great.
Yep. I don't know if that's enough to instantaneously put that in the top 10 out of 36. This isn't the 20th anymore. They're 36.
Let's think about something that just go right out there, though, right? 9 is out. 11's out.
9 and 11 are out, confirmed.
12 is out. 13 is out. You know what I mean?
But
7's out.
But you're saying that right away during the basking in the glory of what it was this week and the fact that on the week of it completely exceeded expectations.
Well, yeah, you make a great point. You were right.
It was
wherever
better.
You put it, wherever you rank it, I still get it. I told you so. Like still.
Yeah. I just think you then
owe me an apology.
I think you're right. I think you're still deserved. And I told you so. I think what makes you Stephen A. Greg is then you go the next step and go, this is a guaranteed top 10 wrestle.
As is my right.
Well,
is the person who is right.
And I will be here historically when years pass to go, hey, remember when you said it was top 10? Looking at it now is more like 18. Like I will be there.
Well, yeah,
remember.
After LA is going to blow it out of the water just in terms of how special it is already. The crowd.
Dip was wrong in the first place. Dip was obsessed with the crowd part of it, which I'm not saying you don't have the right to care about that. We all have the right to care that there's no crowd. But if you make it about the crowd every single night, well, then guess what? You're going to be disappointed every single night. And the truth is, you know, the Boneyard match, the Firefly Funhouse, Rhea Charlotte, Seth KO, the tag match, which turned out to be surprisingly good. Otis Dolph turned out to be fun.
Otis Dolph, yeah.
The truth is, someone did point out, you skipped over 21. 21 was damn good. I love 21. Oh, and 20 was fire, too.
Can we still talk about 20?
Yeah.
We can talk about most of 20.
I'm not you. I'll talk about all of 20. It was all fire. The main event was fire, too.
We can talk about most of 20.
Yeah. You know what? You know why you're full of it, SGG? Because I bet you would still go back. If I was to bring up an episode of The Cosby Show, would you say, I can't even mention The Cosby Show?
No, I don't watch The Cosby Show.
But do you say that it didn't exist?
I mean, it's not. We're not talking about murder, though. Double murder, suicide. True. Like, but
Bill
Cosby's still here for us to drag him to his face.
But at the same time, putting people to sleep so they couldn't move and had their eyes open, murder adjacent.
It is.
Murder adjacent.
It is.
But my point is, yeah, actually, don't talk about 20. 20 is great. 20 was dope because they went back inside. I thought that was very cool. And generally the card was solid all up and down. The Rock came back for the little fun match with McFoley. 21, I loved big time. You know what I'm saying? I was a big fan of going Hollywood, which we will do again next year. But,
I can't wait for that.
It turned out good, man. It turned out to be, and I really do think it benefited from the fact that people like Dip lowered the expectations so badly.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Because, I mean, they set the bar so low that they had no choice but to hurdle over it.
And I think that's exactly what happened. So what was your favorite match?
Oh man, I really enjoyed the Firefly Funhouse match. I enjoyed both the cinematic experiences, if you could say that.
Yep.
You take those out of the way, then I got to go Rhea Charlotte. Like, that was a real good opener. I feel like they just continued the momentum from the first night and then kept it going throughout the second night with that as an opener.
Rhea Charlotte was damn good, man. That was Rhea really delivered. That was a big moment for her. And she completely stepped up and delivered.
Yeah.
I agree. Oh, did you enjoy Firefly Funhouse more? By the way, Gary just wrote, Firefly Funhouse was dumb. It was for kids. That was for kids.
Yeah.
It was terrifying and kids wouldn't get it.
It was a scene of retrospective.
Yeah,
like, how was that for
and
kids?
Not only that, was it for kids. It had so many inside jokes. Even the kids were popping for the Saturday Night's Main Event music?
With the original music and the banner?
That was
the
it, by
banner?
The way. Once the Saturday Night's Main Event logo and music came on,
yeah,
that was it.
I lost my mind.
Good night and good luck. I love this. This was amazing. And listen, I've never seen people more split, though, SGG. I'm even seeing it in our chat right now because we're live on IG. There are people saying how much they loved it. And there are kids and there are people following up saying they hated it and they didn't get it. And then you have people going, it was more of a segment than a match. Of course it was. It wasn't even close to a match. You think anyone's going to argue that's a 5-star match? We're not talking about that, but that's, who cares about a 5-star match? I'm talking about where did you go?
Were you sports entertained?
Yeah. Were you not sports entertained? Exactly. We were all sports entertained. We went away for a minute and the fact that Cena was so open, I mean, about his failures, going as far as using the Nikki Bella music.
Yeah.
I mean, they did everything.
Everything.
I really thought it delivered, and I was so psyched after the Boneyard match, I really didn't think they could do any better the next day. I did not think the Firefly Funhouse, and I heard good things, but it exceeded. And someone asked, did anyone here really not like Firefly Funhouse? I saw at least two or three comments from people who didn't like it, and on Twitter I saw more. When I put up, you know, something about how much I loved it, people saying they didn't like it. And to me, I don't get it, SGG. I don't get it either. Maybe they were just expecting a straight-up wrestling match, but is that really what you thought would be great? Like, did you think John having just a straight-up go-ahead, straightforward wrestling match, that was going to be the iconic moment? I don't know how people would think that.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what they set us up for, right? Bray touched on the history going into it. John Cena touched on his history, Bray's history going into it. So they sort of built us up for this thing that, you know, put them on a collision course, and here they are in the Firefly Funhouse. Just from what we know about the Firefly Funhouse is that it's this weird place that nobody really understands. Seth Rollins was able to walk into it one day and burn it down. I don't know how he did that. Maybe,
yeah, well, I was upset about that at the time, if you recall.
Might not be canon, you know, but
yeah.
But what we know about the Firefly Funhouse is that it's not a place that you can understand or that you can, like, explain to other people. So it was guaranteed to be weird like this.
And by the way, shout out to SGG. because we hear sirens in the background. That means it's officially an episode.
Welcome to the
and
shoot, Arrow.
Shout
baby.
Out to Kaz, who's in the room right now. I just saw him say that Jim Cornette needs to go sit on a cactus. Did Cornette do something else? Or is that just general?
He must have said something about the 5-5 Funhouse.
Oh, did Cornette say something? Did Cornette?
Possibly. I don't know.
Oh, Kaz, let us know if that's true, because I would love to hear what Cornette would have to say. After we already had to watch this week, did you watch the Brawl for All Vice episode?
I did not.
It's just funny watching the back and forth. They obviously did that episode. I figured out very quickly why they did that episode. It was just to have an episode where Vince Russo and Jim Cornette could talk trash about each other back and forth the whole episode again.
Yo, that was my favorite part of the Screwjob episode.
Guess what?
Russo and Cornette going back
guess
and
what?
Forth.
You will enjoy Brawl for All. I will say this about Brawl for All. It gave me information about that I didn't realize. I did learn things on it that I didn't know. But the main purpose
of it.
What
was your biggest takeaway from that episode?
I mean, listen, it's nothing shocking. Well, two things. One, Russo just completely villainizes JBL. It's that the whole thing happened because he hated JBL. And he wanted to see JBL get knocked out. So as a result, he created the Brawl for All. And Vince went for it. And then as a result, superstars were just dropping like flies and getting injured one after another, seriously. I didn't ever really do the knowledge and spend time thinking about, you know, how much they decided to invest in Dr. Death Steve Williams and that it all went out the window with the Brawl for All.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it was the injury that he like tore everything, like he was completely destroyed from the Brawl for All. So it's worth, SGG, you're sitting in the house on quarantine. How are you not watching wrestling documentaries that come up on new television? How are you like,
because
what terrible reality show are you watching with your fiance? What 40-day fiance?
By we're going to put terrible in air quotes.
Yeah, we will. Go
terrible.
Ahead.
Terrible.
What were you watching Wednesday night?
We got New York Housewives. We got Married at First Sight, 90 Day Fiancé. There's like six versions of 90 Day Fiancé going off right
now. Are you really watching multiple 90 Day Fiancés?
Yeah, because you got the 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days about the couples that are currently hooking up, contemplating doing it. Then you got 90 Day Fiancé proper, which is they're in it. They got 90 days to get married. Then you got...
Why are you doing this? We don't need to do this.
Which is the couples after they broke up.
You know, you should, this actually invalidates, like, I would now never be able to send you as a representative to the world of why wrestling's great. Cause they'd be like, what other kind of content do you consume?
No, it's like, all like the trashy reality.
I rarely look down my nose at TV. But I mean, I'm down for one every blue moon. But my God, man!
No, this stuff is entertaining.
Do you know how much
great.
Good stuff there is on pay TV right now? Did you finish Ozark?
I didn't even start Ozark.
Like, yo, you're trash, B. You're what's
Ozark.
Wrong with America, yo. You're what's wrong with our country.
Me?
Well, you're in the same. Listen, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you right now, SGG.
Yeah,
you are in. You. It's not you, but you're in a category of people you don't want to be in. The people
listen,
at the party.
Man.
The people at the party who are like, hey, in the diagram, here are the people who watch Ozark. Here are the people who watch all four versions of 90 Day Fiancé. You don't want to be on your side of the party. You want to be over here.
I'm a centrist, okay? I watch Luther. I've consumed every episode of This Is Us, okay? I got my dramas. I got my comedies. I got my trash reality
What about
TV.
Good, though? What about just
wrestling.
Good? Really good?
Like, Curb. Every episode of Curb.
All right, I mean, Curb is a start, but...
Luther? You don't know about Luther?
Honestly, I thought Luther was overrated.
What?
And by the way, now I know it is because you like it. So now I know. It's what I, like everyone acted like Luther was some like deeper cop show. It's NCIS. It's NCIS with a British accent. It was.
How dare you? That is absurd.
I watched like three episodes and was like, I'm good.
That is absurd.
It was absurd. But it's not surprising you like it because you like network TV and Luther to me feels like network TV. It doesn't feel
absurd.
Special at all to me.
How dare you?
Do you watch one good pay show besides Curb?
I like Insecure. Let's see what else I like. I watch a lot of chef shows too. I watch too much Food Network. The guy, everything he does on Food Network, I watch it.
We might have to have a whole separate episode.
This is a hurt people moment, but I'm just going to have to throw a shot at you now.
What show? Go ahead.
The Office is overrated. The Office got to catch a shot.
What is wrong with you? Why are you Stephen A. Gregg? Because
you're disrespecting my content. So now I have to disrespect your content.
Why are you Stephen A. Gregg? You had to go straight to The Office?
I hate The Office.
You hate The Office.
No, I don't hate The Office. I take that back.
Okay, you don't like it. You're not interested.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's not it. But you know what I do? I hate Friends. Friends can catch a straight too.
I'm not a Friends guy. You can take Friends. Yeah, okay, the Office is the worst take.
I'm glad we can meet in the middle on something. Friends.
No, I'm just sad because we are currently in the middle of a quarantine. There's nothing to do. And there was a documentary about the Brawl for All. How do you not watch that?
I told you, I'm shaky on the Vice documentaries.
Hey, even if you're shaky though, I'm shaky on it too. Like, it's not great. Listen, they're not making masterpieces. It's not like, you know, the PBS show. It's not Ken Burns baseball or anything, but it's, I'm saying considering we're on quarantine, I think it's a worthwhile watch. The Brawl for All I thought was interesting. Anyways, okay. We're never going to send you as a representative now to the conference as to why wrestling should exist.
Yo, shout out to the Bravo Housewives too. New York Housewives season just started.
My friend is on it. I still didn't watch the episode.
Terrible friend.
How did Leah do on that episode?
She's doing good. She's doing great right now.
Good. I'm glad.
She's not the craziest housewife yet, so we'll see.
She's not a house or a wife, so
we'll see.
But I do want to see her on that show. So yeah, I do consider Mania to be a big success. What did you think about? Did you watch Raw on Monday though?
First of all, seamless transition back to Mania. Loved it.
Thank you. I'm very clean.
I did watch Raw back on Monday, and I thought they, again, continued that momentum. Like, that Seth Rollins match, if you could call it that, it was more of a squash. You know, Nia Jax returning. Apollo Crews and Aleister Black.
Yeah, that was a good match.
Of everything this weekend, you know, except for the two cinematic experiences, obviously, they benefited the most from not having a crowd, because you just got to think that A, they might not have been given that much time, and then B, a crowd would not have appreciated that the way you can appreciate it, you know, watching at home and just them doing what they do at the highest level.
I was happy to see Nia back. I don't know if I love the start of the show.
With the Street Profits and Bianca Belair and,
eventually got to the Bianca Belair part, it was cool. But guess what? That was the same way she appeared at Mania.
Yeah,
we had just experienced that. So to me, I would have actually rather just been. They were eventually setting up for her and Zelina to get in the match. To me, then I would have rather have just started the show with Bianca Belair's music.
Yeah, same. Especially when Zelina coming out in ring gear sort of tipped the hand of where they were going to go with it. She's never in ring gear.
I didn't even notice. That's a very good point. I didn't notice that, but I could see how that would tip someone's hand.
She's out in ring gear, so, I mean.
Also, another thing I didn't understand about Raw this week, why did they say that Drew McIntyre had a second match after WrestleMania against The Big Show? Why didn't The Big Show just come out on Monday?
You know, I don't know.
Because it ended up feeling like that anyway. It all looks the same.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So you don't know when you're watching it. If you looked away for a second, you'd be like, oh, Big Show has a match on Monday Night Raw with Drew McIntyre. No, this happened last night after WrestleMania. What? I just didn't understand what that meant, really.
And then, you know, the confusing thing is, so now, like, was it technically a WrestleMania match? No, because WrestleMania went off the air, but then the argument could be made because everything in the arena says WrestleMania. Was it a Raw match because it aired on Raw? Like, I didn't get any of it. Why is Drew McIntyre going back out to the ring 20 minutes later?
I didn't understand why it wasn't anything. But why not just say, so someone wrote, to make Drew look strong after beating Brock Lesnar. Okay, I get that. But my point,
beating Brock Lesnar made him look strong.
Exactly. All he had to do was come out and have a celebration.
Everybody beat up the Big Show.
And yeah, that's a good point too. But if during his celebration, Big Show came out, okay, but why say it was a match yesterday? When in the world would they ever have a match after WrestleMania went off the air?
Right. So
they had a dark match for Mania with no exactly. crowd. It was a double dark match. It just, that doesn't make sense.
Because right. yeah, if the crowd was there, would that have happened?
Of course not. After the confetti came down and he celebrated his big title win, well, is the Big Show. What?
Like, he's not coming back to the ring to do anything after the crowd is gone.
Is it the end of the world? No. But it is what it is. Now, was there any difference also between, if you wanted to take a shot at WrestleMania, we both agreed WrestleMania exceeded expectations. The Boneyard match was perfect use of The Undertaker. Firefly yep. Funhouse was the best Cena thing in years. It was just awesome. Rhea and Charlotte tore the house down. There were a lot of surprises that were great. If I were to point out a theme that I did not like from WrestleMania, it would be both championship matches. Braun, Goldberg, and Drew Brock. While we knew certainly that the Braun-Goldberg match was not going to be anything special, I mean, literally, just basically it was like two moves on repeat.
Yeah.
Like they could have tried, maybe they get outside the ring, you know, something where there's a little bit of something. It literally felt almost like a squash. I don't know. Why not give that 5 more minutes, SUG?
So, I mean, in defense of Braun Goldberg, well, one, I don't think Braun Goldberg could have gone 5 more minutes. I think they hit the exact threshold that they could get out of both of those guys together. Maybe with different opponents, you can get something more out of each guy. But together, that was what they were going to get. That was, like, the best they were going to get. And I think, you know, with Braun Goldberg specifically, Goldberg was ready for a different guy. Like, that was supposed to be a completely different match. And I think you have to think that Roman could have done more with Goldberg. Could have been different. Could have been better, possibly. We don't know. But that match was completely different with Roman Reigns.
I feel like that story could have been told, though, right? Like, you know, he thinks he's getting Roman, so he does something that would have worked with Roman, but instead it totally fails against Braun. You know, tell that story a little bit. They basically just did their most, the only moveset they could pull off. I mean, listen, I hear you. It just seemed like we knew that. Well, we knew when Braun got the match, at least I did. I was pretty confident Braun was going to win the title. I just feel like there could have been a little bit more work done to tell that story. And what did you think about the Drew match?
Yeah, I mean, same critique as the Braun Goldberg match. I think they could have gone a little bit longer, but in terms of making Drew, you know, kicking out of those F5s at one, you know, what is it? I think it was like 4 F5s he kicked out of. The first one he kicked out at one, and then the other two he kicked out at two, but it doesn't matter because none of them did the job. And then, you know, hitting his claymore and getting the win, you know, it built Drew up. I think Drew and Brock could have actually wrestled a little bit more. Those guys can both wrestle, but yeah, the two championship matches hit the same note. I have to agree.
So why though? Like, Drew Brock was Sunday.
Yes.
The one criticism everyone appears to agree on about Randy and Edge is that it was too long.
I don't agree.
Well, you're wrong. they went up on top of that bus, SUG, that trailer and stayed up there for another 15 minutes, yo. It was too long. They just didn't need that much time. It was, why not take 10 minutes from there? Now listen, the bottom line is, Randy and Edge probably wanted the time, and they were probably given the time, and that's probably what they did with the time. But to me, you're not just being defensive. You think that match needed? It was the second longest match in WrestleMania history.
I don't think it needed. I don't think any of them needed anything, right? But for the length of it, first of all, like you said, this is Edge's first match back.
Yeah,
they built up the history. They built up all of it. I don't think that match going long hurt it too much. I didn't mind the length of the match.
I mean, listen, that may be your opinion. In terms of public perception, it definitely hurt. Most people felt that the very common opinion was that it was really long and it dragged in the middle. And, or you know what, SGG? That extra 10 minutes, let's say you're going to keep it 40 minutes. I would have liked that if they stayed in the ring for the first 10. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like
yeah.
It was in the same place for 30 minutes. They were in the same area of the arena for like 30 minutes. And by the way, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good match. I really thought it was well done. I just thought it was too long, and I thought, man, I would have taken those 10 minutes and let Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar have a match. I don't see why that had to be.
Network. I don't think 10 minutes was taken away from Drew and Brock. You know, it aired on the network. It was pre-taped.
Shout out to Questlove, by the way.
With Drew and Brock.
Questlove, who I saw, the only thing I can say related to wrestling and Questlove is on my way to WrestleMania, my first WrestleMania SGG in Orlando, I was at the airport, and who did I see?
Questlove. Also on his way to WrestleMania?
No, I forget where he was going. He probably remembers because he's crazy. I forget where he had a gig. And Dipperstein shows up. Wow, a real influx of Philly.
A wild Dipperstein.
A real influx of Philly as Questlove and Dipperstein both yeah. pop up at the same time. Two Philly legends. Dipperstein says, let me in. I don't know how to let Dip in, though, when we're doing it this way.
Not without my apology.
Oh, so are you saying you don't want Dip on the podcast again until he apologizes?
I am demanding my apology.
This is like you forcing Dipperstein to join the Kiss My Ass Club.
No, I didn't do this. Dip screwed Dip.
Wow.
I would never. Dip screwed Dip.
Wow.
He did it to himself.
And Dipperstein basically said, okay, hold on. There's a special guest. There is a run-in that is going to happen, though. It's the master of the hot dog chicken showdown.
Which is going to happen one of these days.
Oh, Bear, relax. What noise is happening that you're so scared of? Why are your feet up in the air like this? Calm down. Do you have anything to say? You prefer the
hot dog chicken challenge.
He wants the hot dog chicken showdown. That's what he cares about. So people who don't know what we're talking about, Dipperstein basically claimed beyond a shadow of a doubt that WrestleMania would be awful, that it would just be the worst. And
buried me in the process.
Buried you, of course, called you a maniac, and you are a maniac at times. But then, yes. But then by the end, Dipperstein must admit it, the show was better than he expected. He loved it.
We watched him love it. We watched him on Zoom enjoy that show.
He did. And also, Dipper Fiend is here saying, let me in. Wow, that's scary, by the way.
Welcome yeah. to the shoot, Arrow Baby.
You know, maybe all's forgiven if you're going to go full Dipper Fiend on it.
Now, Dipper Fiend, by the way, of course, is stuck at Dipperland Ranch, you know, which is better than most places to be. Oh, my gosh. Ted just showed up, too. It's lit in here right now.
Is this the Zoom? This should have been the Zoom.
Yo, this is basically the Zoom, guys. If Skyler shows
Ted,
up, if Skyler shows up, this is basically.
No Shoemaker.
It. Yeah, no Shoemaker, of course. What sound do you hear? He's going crazy. He's here. Something's going on. Bear was just. Someone said, "Where is Bear?" Fiend Bear was just here 2 seconds ago. Now, SGG, let's talk about the most important thing of WrestleMania weekend. What did you think of the Dapper Dan Tux on Sunday?
Beautiful.
I mean, did you feel that Harlem representation?
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. I'm sort of glad that you didn't do what I suggested and wait until WrestleMania Hollywood for it.
Nah, it was time. And by the way, I'm going to flip it again one more time with a different look next year because I'm getting something changed on it, actually. So it will be different. Bye, Cast One. Cast One shows up, sees that it's wrestling, then leaves. Thank you. Appreciate you.
I mean, he's real. He's real.
Now, how did you – a lot, Greg, there were a lot of people upset that I didn't wear socks. Your thoughts?
Like – was it no socks or just the no-show socks?
No. They're actually, well, in this case, I just ordered no-show socks, but in this case, it was physically actually no socks because I didn't have any no-shows. But
I mean, it's the same deal.
They weren't worried about it being no-show. They didn't like the look of the ankles. I believe that with a tux that.
What's wrong with your ankles?
With a tux that baller, you have to go full fashion mode ankle showing. I believe that's the only way to go.
I agree. I mean, I don't know what about your ankles turned them off. Maybe it was a you problem and not just ankles in general.
Yeah, and when you're going loafers, you can go no socks. It's one thing if you're wearing tie-ups. I wasn't. I was wearing gorgeous Gucci loafers that required no socks.
Yeah, I mean,
take these full hairy ankles all up in your face. Bow.
Is that what it was? I think you answered the question.
The people, but honestly, people were shocked. They literally didn't even. It's like people didn't even know that was a thing. And just to keep it real,
that's,
guys,
that's absurd. That
it's been
absurd.
A thing. The loafer no sock thing has been in now in this era for at least the last 5 years. It's at least been five years that people pulled
absurd. That
off.
That's absurd. That they didn't know was a thing. They're lying.
No, I think people are that unfashionable. They've never heard of that. That's a thing.
Doesn't Ricochet walk around with the loafers, no socks?
I'm not everyone's following Ricochet during his personal life, SGG. That's just you.
I mean, he has to show up to the arena at some point.
But not everyone's waiting there with a Ricochet sign besides you and your friends.
Well, you would think people.
It was weird when I showed up to the arena and I heard someone chanting Rosenberg and I looked up and it was SGG just standing there with the sign. He had a bear, he had a hot dog chicken showdown sign.
Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Now, I want to say something very important to all the so-called wrestling fans out there. Yo, man, people absolutely crushed Sam last week on social media, for his performance on NXT. Okay. And I thought Sam did a damn good job. I do think he's naturally heelish. But people really acted like they really went off, right? Sam doesn't care. He thinks it's hilarious. But it annoyed me. Here's why it annoyed me, SUG. I flipped on AEW last night.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho was doing commentary. Can you describe in a nutshell what my feelings on Chris Jericho's AEW run have been like?
You loved it. It's been – you've been pleasantly surprised. I don't even say you were surprised. He exceeded your expectations, but also the bar was very high. You expected him to go in and you know, achieve these lofty things in AEW. You expected him to be great. You expected him to take the company on his back and fly them to the moon.
And I've loved every bit of him.
Every second.
So let me be clear.
He could do no wrong.
He could. Guess what? He did wrong. He was so bad on commentary. And here's what made me realize why the smart wrestling fans are the worst. Because Jericho is over and everyone's into Jericho, I search Twitter and everyone's like, this is the best Jericho on commentary. It was savage on commentary adjacent. He never stopped talking. He could not leave 1 second of air empty for the match to breathe. It was awful. It was painful. And that, by the way, guys, I'm not saying he couldn't be good at it. And I'm not saying this ruins anything about the brilliance he's had the last 6 months. I don't care. I'm pointing out the fraud that is wrestling fans who had the nerve to say that Sam was trash when Sam actually understood things like taking a breath, leaving a spot, saying a line, giving Tom room. Jericho was, it was a headache. He made Morrow seem relaxed and chill.
And he turned into the Chris Jericho show?
Oh, it was a running Chris Jericho one man show. And listen,
who was his partner on commentary? Or do
Shivani.
You remember? Oh, wow.
He was running all over Shivani. All over him. And by the way, do it. Have a good time. But you fraud fans who have the nerve to act like it's good because you're just such stands for Jericho. Because, by the way, he's been brilliant, 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 brilliant. Then he did something that was definitively not brilliant. And no one was able to just be like, oh, maybe this isn't it. And someone said, you just put Sam over Jericho. Yeah. On commentary? Yeah.
Yeah. Easily.
Big time.
What?
Easily.
Who wouldn't?
Easily Sam over Jericho on commentary. Duh. For sure. It wasn't good, guys. Guess who might know something about broadcasting?
Broadcasters.
I can't speak about anything in the world with any sort of knowledge, but I can speak about broadcasting. Last night was a hard listen. Hard listen. I need him back in the ring fighting with drones, okay? I want Chris Jericho.
Off the commentary table.
Yes, just be Chris Jericho. Fake news. How are you saying that? It was bad, guys. What did people listen to? It was like last week's SGG. If you have an opinion that's different, we're just wrong on everything, okay? A couple of weeks ago, everyone was so, everyone got mad at me because I'm a negative Nancy, and I admit I can be that way. I'm a bit of a contrarian by nature. And everyone was celebrating a Jonte Austin Neo battle. And I was like, what? Okay. Two R&B writers having a battle. I mean, I shaded it. Everyone's mad at me. And everyone gets mad at me. I'm sorry. When I think of battles, I just don't think of R&B writers. It's not a battle to me. Battling comes from hip hop, and that's what I'm here for. So then when I see that RZA and Primo are having a battle on Saturday, and I'm losing my damn mind because I can't wait, they're all going, shut up, you said you hate battles. No, this is what I wanted. This was the point. The point was I wanted RZA and Primo. That's exactly what I wanted. And I don't care how many people on Twitter tell me I'm wrong and tell me to take the L and tell me to leave. No, I was right. Guess what? That's going to be more enjoyable. As good as the songwriting is, and by the way, Jonte Austin and Neo, brilliant writers, both of them. Neo's a brilliant artist.
I heard that battle was incredible.
I'm sure as far as R&B songwriting battles go, it's amazing. And if that's what you live for and you're someone who's like, yo, I'm all about just hearing some good R&B next to each other. If you want to slow dance at your battle, go for it. That's totally okay, but RZA
so what are you
and
gonna
Premier.
Do at your battle? You're not going to slow dance. What are you going to do?
Well, during what?
During the RZA and Premier battle.
A RZA and Premier. That's a straight Henny in one hand head knock battle. You know what I'm saying? You break your computer during the RZA Premier battle. You smash things on the ground. When that incarcerated Scarfaces comes on, there are going to be people being like, "This is good," but I'd rather be listening to "So Sexy" by Neo right now. All right, cool.
Maybe.
Go ahead. Listen, that's you. I got my entire career. The only reason I'm here is because of my love of things like Ice Cream, Incarcerated Scarfaces, Wu Gambino, Nas's Like in New York State of Mind. So this is what I'm here for. And yes, I will make that same assertion right now. Chris Jericho is on the best run of his career. Commentary wasn't it. Sorry.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the thing. Cause you brought it, you said it best, right? You're a broadcaster. You know how to present visuals, music, whatever, to an audience, right? Chris Jericho is good on the mic. He can do a promo. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be great at the announce table broadcasting and delivering information and translating it to the audience. So
the biggest problem with it is the hardest thing is that cutting promos doesn't involve listening. And broadcasting involves listening. Like, the amount when you're sitting at a table with other people, particularly a broadcast booth, and JR talks about this all the time, is how much... Dipperstein, you love Jericho? Guess what? Not putting you on the podcast this week.
Yeah. Now you got two apologies.
Yeah, now you have two apologies.
Two apologies.
He wanted me to call him after this. Are you out of your gourd? You are such an AEW stan. It was painful.
And this is the other thing too.
You have Tony Schiavone there. He's there. That's one of the best things about the show.
This is the other thing too. You bring up the hypocrisy and like the blatant bias with the smart marks, right? The same people who are saying and have been saying that WWE needs to shut it down and cut it out with these performance center shows.
Oh, they're not talking about AEW. Yeah.
No. Those are the same people in the same breath who will say AEW is doing good under the circumstances. The same people who are like WWE is not respecting social distancing and WWE is making this coronavirus thing worse. How can they drag
They need to cancel WrestleMania.
I have no issue with AEW surrounding the ring with wrestlers who are not 6 feet apart to resemble a crowd. And guess what? Those wrestlers don't all live in those towns. Like, they bring them in, they put them up. AEW is going on business as usual, but only one company is being told to shut down. And like, listen, now that WrestleMania is done, I'm all for both of them packing it up and just riding this thing out and seeing what happens. Because I mean, P, I don't know if you know this Corona thing is a shoot.
No, it's
happening.
Stone Cold told me. Stone Cold told me coronavirus is a shoot, and you are 100% correct. Let's just be clear. You know, the Brian Manns of the world, who I love, the people who think that everything WWE does is wrong, and A. Motley saying, SGG, stop yourself. No, he's right. The fact is, WWE gets buried for everything they do, right? I'm sorry, WWE gets buried for everything they do. And AEW, By the way, owned by a guy who I think has more money than Vince McMahon. Okay?
Yeah.
It's a huge company. They are not some little upstart. Look at them giving a shot. Okay? Let's be clear.
Right.
AEW is not an indie. Just because they hired a bunch of indie people does not make them an indie. They're not. They are a major, major, major company. The only thing that makes them seem indie is that relative to WWE, they seem minor league because the WWE brand is so gigantic. They're not indie. They're a massive company. And guess what? Their leadership is doing the same thing. They're moving on. And guess what? Us as fans, we're all better off for it. We have TV to watch on Monday, on Wednesday, on Friday, etc.
I mean, I was going to be all right, man. There's seven different versions of 9 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, exactly. With all your 90 Day Fiancé, you're fine.
But, I was going to find something.
But you're right, man. I do not see the same criticism of AEW at all.
One company is being told to shut it down and pack it up and how they're
But you follow, you also follow a lot of annoying wrestling people too.
I do, and you don't, but have you heard it? You've heard that WWE needs to shut down. Have you heard anything about AEW?
No. No. But again, this goes back to what I was just saying about Jericho. I couldn't find one tweet with someone who didn't think he was good. Cause everyone who watches that show is full blown in for like, we're just here for everything. Whereas WWE gets
I'm gonna watch it and I'm gonna tweet it. I'm gonna tweet it.
You'll find
one.
By the way, SGG, next week, SGG, you should hate tweet at AEW.
It would be me.
I'll do it. I can't do it. I can't do it either way.
I made it past TakeOver, so I have no problem watching AEW and just giving them the real. Welcome to the shoot era.
No, I think you'll like. I think you'll find things you like.
Welcome to the shoot era.
Oh yeah, no, of course. I've said this before too. Like AEW, the in-ring stuff, I love. But like the hand-holding and the coddling and all that stuff that comes from, you know, AEW on social media. That's what I'm not here for. So like bell to bell, they got me hooked. But like the overrating of everything that happens outside of the ring.
You mean
with some of the stuff in the ring. Like yes, like Jericho on commentary.
You mean like overrating. Exactly. You mean like jabronis like Dipperstein who are actually putting over Jericho on commentary? In the first match, he was screaming about, who was it, Lance Archer? And he's like, I legitimately don't know who's going to win! I was like, who are you? Why did you
the
all
overrating
of, a sudden-
of everything they do is what I'm not here for.
Okay, SGG, Friday, do we have any idea on what's going to happen on SmackDown?
No clue. I mean, we got to get something from Bray Wyatt, right? Definitely at least a Firefly Funhouse segment, maybe something with Cena. I don't know. Probably a Braun Strowman celebration.
There is. They announced there's going to be a women's tag rematch and a Braun Strowman appearance. That I know we have.
So, you know, we're in for at least that. And they got to do Firefly Funhouse. They have to. They can't just let that sit. Because like Titus O'Neil said, like, nobody knows what they just watched. Everybody knows that it was awesome. But
is Gronk going to show up?
Some unpacking. I hope not. Oh, he has the 24/7 title. He's going to he'll be back at some point.
Dipperstein said that he wants you to know he's heard that AEW has made concessions.
Well, I mean, listen. If they have a... If they ever count me some seats, I'll find out. But let me ask you this, Pete.
Go ahead.
Do you think that we have seen the last Undertaker match and or the last John Cena match in WWE?
Want a hot take?
Yes.
I think it's more likely we've seen the last Cena than the last Undertaker.
Welcome to the shoot, Arrow Baby.
I think that Undertaker can't leave it alone. He loves it too much. And I also think that he's now figured out a formula that he can run back. You know, a lot of people were talking about how there could easily be, you could now easily have an Undertaker Sting match.
Yeah.
And different things like that. Whereas Cena can't do a Firefly Funhouse match again. And Cena's last few things he's done have not been memorable. And then he has this moment that was creatively, reportedly his. You know, he really was the vision behind this, and it was so brilliant. I think there's a chance he walks. I do.
And can we touch on that, too? I mean, how crazy is that to think, right? Everybody watches that match, and they're just like, oh, man, who's the mind behind this? And shout out to Cena. They gave him, like, a slight pat on the back for agreeing to do this and, like, go there. But to think that Cena was the one who drove this and took it there.
Yep. That's the word. The word is this was a John Cena operation.
That's amazing.
And he really wanted it to be made for Bray. and really wanted to go in, and he did. So, listen, I'm not saying I actually think Cena's not coming back. I think both of them are coming back. But forced to choose, I think Undertaker might have just figured out a way for him to work a little bit more and do something again. Whereas Cena, I think, with how busy he is and how little we've been getting him in general, he might be more okay walking away, because we know what Cena's walking away to. He knows what he's walking away to.
Yeah.
That's the reason he's been gone in the first place. But I'll tell you one thing. Someone just put up the comment, Cena will come back to Mania to get squashed next year. There's no point. I really don't want to see him come back and lose yet again at WrestleMania. I mean, now it's right. Getting ridiculous.
Yeah, because what? Last year wasn't really anything, but the year before that.
Yeah, it was squashed to Undertaker. And then here we are, basically squashed again.
Yeah. I mean, there were no real offense from anybody in that match until right at the end. And
although Dip makes the point that it is in LA next year, it's in Hollywood. Does Cena have to play a major role next year?
I mean, maybe, but then like, do we just bring back everybody with the Hollywood connection?
I'll tell you what, you know,
Cena, Hogan, and The Rock in a triple threat match.
No, I'll tell you this right now. You know, be mage. If you do Cena, Hogan, Cena comes out. He's like, now that I'm Hollywood, I'm hosting WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. Rock music hits. He comes out. He's like, no, hold on. I'm the original. Hogan music hits. He's come out. He's like, no way, brother. I'm the original. Jesse the Body Ventura music hits.
Oh.
He's the original. Jesse the Body is the original.
He is.
And don't get it twisted. Jesse used to be so mad. I loved it. If you go back and watch, he would always complain about Roddy Piper attempting to go to Hollywood and steal what he had done. It would be so funny to have all four of those guys. And it really is. I mean, the truth is Jesse the Body did legit movies. That happened.
He did.
Piper would be missing. And the truth is Hogan's the one who really barely accomplished anything in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you take damn near any wrestler of the World Heavyweight Championship and went on to Hollywood, they surpassed Hogan. Batista. You can throw Batista in there.
Oh, yeah, Batista too. Batista has. Jesse the Body surpassed Hogan in Hollywood. Cena obviously had. The Rock obviously has. Piper may be in the same conversation, but I'll tell you what. The movie They Live has at least more like niche kind of cachet than anything Hogan ever
classic.
Did. Yeah, like Hogan doesn't have, I mean, Suburban Commando? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not what's out in the streets. So overall, SGG, I will say this. I think you gotta give props. Mania exceeded expectations.
It did.
Say what you will. You know, Dip will continue to be upset about the crowd, blah, 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 blah. But it exceeded expectations and I truly, truly enjoyed it. SGG, I'm going to try to get Dip on and see if he'll apologize to you if I bring him on the podcast.
Doubt it. Us. Apologize to us. Us.
See, now you're trying to drag me in because you think that maybe it'll increase that he makes the apology.
He owes us an apology.
So, hey, maybe for real, maybe this weekend we'll do a watch at some point. Could you get away from 90 Day Fiancé to do that?
I should be able to. I got to check the schedule over at TLC, but I should be able to find a couple hours.
Yeah, check the TLC schedule this week. I want to make sure they're not running any old episodes. And maybe we could choose an old pay-per-view to watch. That could be fun.
All right, perfect. And Lay, you know, release it for the people.
Oh, that's a good thought. And do me a favor, stay mage.
And enjoy yourself.
All right, take it easy. That's SGG, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to bring on Dipperstein, even though I barely want to after his repug statement that he made earlier, which was embarrassing and hurtful. Let's see, first of all, if he's willing to apologize. We have, it looks like they'll probably shut us off here in 5 minutes.
Huh?
Yeah, Instagram shuts you off after an hour. You trying to do four questions?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you something, your hair right now is repug. What is this? I've never seen this version of Dipperstein before.
I don't know what this is. I've been getting my hair cut like every 2 weeks because I'm Richard Jace.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I don't know what,
it's
I don't know what this is.
It's stiff, it's dry, I'm very confused.
There's something going on.
Now, so, are you willing to apologize to Stack Guy Greg?
No, I mean, no, absolutely not. Why would I apologize
to
him?
Do you think you were wrong? Was WrestleMania better than you said it would be?
By the way, Look at this.
Gorgeous.
Long sleeve.
It's a gorgeous item.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed the two matches. I didn't really like the Randy and Edge match. I thought it was long and boring. And look, let me tell you something. You can have a backstage brawl, and no one likes a backstage brawl more than me. I need blood. And I know that's never going to happen. But unless there's blood, what's the point to see them punch and kick and punch and punch and punch? I mean, how many punches could there be? He throws him against a metal item, and the item is loud. And then he punches him again. And then they sweat a little bit more. And then they climb up on some elevated thing, and he hits him in the back with a chair. I mean, these violent matches are not fun anymore because they're not bleeding.
You need blood. You want blood. 100%.
I gotta have blood.
You gotta have blood.
I need blood.
By the way, we talked a lot through this match, but Rhea and Charlotte was Mage.
Okay.
I think you paid attention to Jace, if I'm being honest.
I paid attention to Jace. I don't understand. It's just not, you could do crazy things. I mean, I think the ladder match was probably Mage too, but like, it's just, look, you give these guys as much credit as, I mean, they're going out there. I got nothing but love for them all doing what they're doing. But it doesn't have the same effect without a crowd. They're pandering to the air. It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
You're obsessed with the crowd. You're obsessed.
I have to have the crowd. And not only that, I like to be in the crowd. For WrestleMania, I want to be in the crowd.
So you were just so honestly, your review is essentially irrelevant. You were so upset that you weren't there; that doesn't even count.
It is. You know that me better than anybody. There's nothing that hurts me more than missing WrestleMania week. Nothing.
It's awful.
It was a horrible experience for me to be watching it on television with no crowd. It was terrible.
I know. Now and yet you were in such a deluded, crazed state that you thought Jericho was good on commentary last night.
Yeah.
You need help.
I don't need help.
He didn't leave 1 inch of air. Not a second. He never shut up.
He talked too much. He talked too much, but he's funny. He's quick. I like Jericho.
No, I love Jericho. He's having the most Mage run of his career. But I'm sorry, that doesn't just make it good to hear him scream incessantly for 60 minutes straight. I guess I'm thinking about it from the craft of commentary more than him being funny. I'm sure he was funny.
That's fine. But he was like, the things that he said were funny. He called Tony Schiavone.
But he always calls him Tony Schiavone. These are all jokes. These are his gimmicks that he runs nonstop. Hit the top of the Page. He's been doing these jokes nonstop for years.
They're all very good.
It's the Jericho gimmick. I'm talking about just the pacing of the actual commentary.
He has no clue how to do that.
It was psycho. No, but listen, you don't have to back off. And don't say don't be that person. I am that person. I'm a person who talks about wrestling. I tell you when Jericho's major. I'm going to tell you when he sucks. Okay? Don't be that person. I have to just think everything's great. Sorry. And by the way, is he a heel? Because he was putting people over galore. He was putting over Cody.
He's yelling at people commenting, not at me. Don't worry.
No, I wouldn't yell at you. Of course, I would. All right. They're going to cut us off in 2 minutes, Dipperstein. What else do you have?
Really?
Instagram lets you do an hour, and then they cut you off.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Cena will be back at WrestleMania next year.
Okay.
I think The Undertaker will probably be back at WrestleMania next year. I think if he does another match like that, it's going to be ridiculous unless it's Sting. I think it needs to be Sting next year. It needs to be Sting next year.
That would be.
There's nice. Nobody else. If in LA, it's Sting versus Undertaker.
Oh my God. Badass versus the Crow. Crow Sting.
I don't even know what would happen.
They would let a crow fly over the stadium. Just one.
I don't think anyone's flying from the rafters anymore. I always dreamed of being an agent in Hollywood with the backdrop of watching wrestling all day long.
Listen, you have accomplished this 100%. Ted is there. Hey, at Wrestling for Sale, wrestlingforsale.com. Tremendous products on there, by the way.
Well, somebody called me Diaper Stain. Never heard that one before, schmuck.
By the way, that is actually was that Chris Jericho in the chat?
That's
the
guy that might have been.
That's what Jericho would say. Right to your face. All right, Dipperstein, we'll talk later. I want everyone to stay Mage and do me a favor and take it easy out there.
Stay Mage.
So again, no apology to Greg.
Okay. That'll be the day.
Goodbye. By the way, guys, the whole podcast will be up. Go subscribe to Cheap Heat wherever podcasts are found.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.